It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Of course, talking about it all morning, annoying loss for the Knicks last night, now down 3-1. Game 5 at home at the Garden. I wish I had confidence in them at the Garden, but they've played better on the road, even though last night was an ugly one in Indiana. If you want to talk some Knicks, 888-808-1019.
You sound like you're kind of worn out by the Knicks.
I am now.
I mean, it is. It was very disappointing last night. And I was thinking this morning that the generational talent that is Tommy Lugauer.
Yeah.
Lugie.
Yeah.
I feel bad for guys like him because I know how much effort and I know how much belief he puts into these dudes who are dogs and do damage.
Yeah.
But they were dogs last night and they got damaged. And I feel bad for him. Did he put out a response or anything? Did he put out a...
I didn't see anything on X.
He did put something on Instagram, but he was eating a cupcake while he was doing it.
Oh, okay.
That he wasn't worried and he just was stuffing a cupcake in his mouth. So it's hard to hear. He's just going, oh, do some damage.
Yeah, he was doing it intentionally. Like, he's doing bits.
Oh, okay. Like, he's like, hey, I'm unaffected by this type of thing. Like, I can sit here and eat a cupcake and it'll be Knicks and 7 and I don't have to worry about anything. Okay.
Okay.
I got it. Yeah, I don't feel bad for any Knicks fan this year. You can't. I mean, the fan base has been re-energized. They got to a place they haven't been in a very long time. I can't feel bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they ended up, like, blowing a series or, you know, losing in Game 7 of the finals on a missed free throw or something, and I'd feel bad. I feel like
we've been here for 5 years. Was it 5 years ago we sent Zoo down to Atlanta?
And the way that
series ended, and then, of course, the way that last year ended, and then now the potential for this to end on your court in your building, the mecca of basketball with all your little celebrities sitting there. I mean, come on.
I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad for anybody.
Because I think, and the way that they reacted to beating the Celtics, and, you know, that was panned by a lot of the national correspondents who covered the NBA. Like, you didn't do anything yet. You just won a series against the Celtics.
Yeah,
but the point being, we've
been dead for 2 decades.
I know. That's why I feel bad for guys that haven't been able to really have a sustained level of success that the team has been building to. Well, and maybe this is the end for this year. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I do not want them to lay down in Game 5. They better not lay down in Game 5 because all of that excitement, all of that reaction to Game 6 against the Celtics goes completely out the window if they have a flat Game 5 against the Pacers.
Yeah, so 4 years ago was the Hawks series.
Oh, it was 4 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, 2021. I mean, this series, I mean, not the way that the games are, but the series is going similar to the Knicks in Boston, just flipped. So now, remember what the Celtics did Game 5 at home after Tatum went down? They blew out the Knicks.
Exactly.
And then
right.
Game 6, back of the Garden, the Knicks blew out the Celtics. So we'll see. But, I mean, I really want a Game 6 desperately. I don't believe that they're going to win the series at this point. That's obviously not going out on a limb because it's 3-1. But I want to see a Game 6, and I want to have that juice that maybe there's a chance they can get back to the Garden. So I'm with you. I want to see them play well in Game 5. I don't want them to lay down. They've sucked at home for the most part. So I'd love to see that. But, I mean, maybe I feel bad. Rascone is a guy I might feel a little bad for because he's been waiting for this whole thing. He wanted to go back and, like, recreate the LJ four-point play feeling because it was Knicks Pacers and he hadn't been back to an Eastern Conference Finals game. And I went with him to that game, Brian Rascone, who works here, of course, and he wanted me to go with him and he bought tickets to Game 5 and now he could show up there and watch him get eliminated. There's one guy I could feel a little bit bad for. He probably paid a gazillion dollars to do that, too. I wonder how much the tickets are probably going right in the toilet right now. Or unless Pacer fans are buying them up. But there's no way that the get-in-the-door price for Game 5 down 3-1 is anywhere near Games 1 and 2.
No.
No way, no how. Mike in Woodside, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
I've been in and out this morning in, on the show. Has it been talked about enough, the ref show that was going on with like 7-8 minutes left in the fourth quarter when we were about to make a comeback? Those in 20 seconds, four calls in a row. OG Anunoby gets bashed over the head. Hart gets called for a random foul for no reason. The over-the-back pushing a 6'8" guy when he's 6'4". We're you know about to go on a run after Anunoby hits that three, and I feel like we just got the wrong side of every call for like a minute and a half.
Yeah, I don't see. I'm not the guy to complain to about the officials. I did not think that they had a huge part in this game. Do I think that maybe slightly because from our standpoint, it felt like the Pacers were getting more calls than the Knicks? Fine, but that did not factor into the game to me to be the difference between winning and losing. The Pacers won that game fair and square.
But there are a couple fouls on Karl-Anthony Towns on offense.
Where he's
hooking Miles Turner's arm.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I guess you get away with that in the regular season, but you're not going to get away with it, especially, and you know for a fact that the Pacers are alerting the Knicks to what he does.
Yeah, now, however, if the NBA is smart, they start fixing these games now. Because they do not want OKC in Indiana in the finals. So now, I mean, he gave the Knicks a chance to win it on their own. They're not able to do so. So let's fix some games. All right? It's fine with me. Fine with everybody here in New York. It's going to be good for your pockets.
Let's go to Miro and Wyckoff. What's happening, Miro?
What's going on, yeah. Boomer?
Yeah, what's happening?
I'm just upset. Like, I'm grossed out with the officiating last night. I mean, it was an embarrassment. I'm watching all these other series. I'm watching SJA out in OKC get all the calls, all these little ticky-tack fouls. He's getting bumped going to the rim. They're calling fouls, blowing the whistle every second, but Brunson's not getting anything. I know he went to the line a lot. I know the Knicks got a lot of free throws last night, but I don't think Brunson's getting the star treatment he deserves. And quite frankly, he's gone all season. So it's been a really big factor.
The guy disappeared in the fourth quarter. All right, enough with the officials. The team, enough. Mikal Bridges couldn't hit a three. Jalen Brunson was terrible in the fourth quarter. Defensively, they played their worst game of the series. OG Anunoby stunk. Karl-Anthony Towns was up there flailing, getting fouls again. Josh Hart had 5 turnovers, and you're sitting here talking about the officials costing the game? Stop!
And there were 39 attempted free throws by the Knicks in this game. In the previous game, it was 40.
Tyrese Haliburton had an all-time statistical playoff game.
And by the way, if I know we're Knicks fans, so We get annoyed when we hear that one of the all-time floppers in the NBA is Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
And, from the perspective of other fans around the league, Jalen Brunson, just like SGA, does get the calls.
Yeah, I mean, and they were chanting flopper last night when he got to the line a couple times when the Pacers were in the bonus early in the third quarter. So,
he's annoying to other teams' fans. I'm just telling you.
Of course, we
have our annoying players that we get annoyed by from other teams. He's that player to other fan bases.
Absolutely. And not because of his personality, just because of his game and how good he is. And then also the, drawing calls.
And then he does his little three-point thing when he hits a three. I mean, those are annoying to other fan bases, just like they would be to us if we were playing against him.
Mike's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Mike?
Morning, fellas. Love the show.
All right, Mike, what's happening, brother?
So before I just have to address something Boomer said real quick, if I can, before I get to my
point. Sure, go ahead.
You feel like this is them every year. You felt like 4 years ago when we were in Atlanta, this is how it ended up. Well, technically, that Atlanta series, even though we thought we were going to steamroll them, that was year one of the real, true step in the process, because the first season we had nobody on this team. We were terrible under Tibbs. So that was Tibbs' second season. That was technically year one of this whole thing. And every year since then, we've gotten better and better in the process. If you look at last season, Indiana made it to the conference finals. Now they're back here again. They're kind of doing what they're supposed to do. Whereas now this is our first time in the conference finals. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying if you look at the natural progression of things, we've gotten better every year since that series you mentioned, and we've gotten to a different spot every year. So just wanted to throw that out there. And then the point that I wanted to call up and make is it's incredible to me. As much as I can't listen to Stan Van Gundy, he annoys the crap out of me. He made a great point on the broadcast. If you watch the way Naismith was guarding Brunson, he gave him no space. He was getting over every single screen. He made him uncomfortable in everything he did. And then you look at our guys guarding Haliburton, they're giving him 5 feet on every single shot. He's wide open at times. The guy's showing you his range, and we're still not defending. So,
yeah.
And as bad as the officiating at times may have been, I'm with you, Gio. It wasn't as bad as some of these people are calling and making it out to be. We were within striking distance throughout that entire game. So as good as they were shooting it, as bad as we were playing, as much as we were turning it over, there was multiple times in that game we cut it to 5-6 points, and we could have went on a run. But we kept shooting ourselves in the foot, turning the ball over, couldn't get stops. So last night's loss has nothing to do with anyone but us. That's it.
Yeah, Mike, good call. Very good call. And we did say earlier we referenced the Van Gundy and Reggie Miller comments about Neesmith and how you should watch him and show him defending Brunson and getting through picks to every other player in the NBA because he's putting on a clinic. And it's right. I mean, and the Knicks don't. It looks completely different. And that's something you've been saying all series with guys being wide open and not closing out. 100%.
They're not closing out, and they're taking the easy way around it. And the one thing about Neesmith is that he's not taking the easy way. He's going the hard way, and that's trying to get through two players. And, you know, Brunson's got to set him up to that. There's that part of it as well. I mean, you know, it's we sit here like, it's a pick and roll. They've been doing this for 100 years. We all know that. The great ones truly know how to manipulate their bodies to get through that pick and roll, or the lazy ones want to go underneath the pick and roll, or they want to switch.
Let's go to Frank, who's in New Jersey. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, JL, how you doing, buddy?
Good, man. What do you got for us?
Boomer. I just don't agree with your call about the refs making they probably didn't affect the game, but they definitely made several bad calls that could have affected the game. So that should be pointed out that they did some. The officiating was definitely not on par last night.
Yeah, I mean, we could say this about every game, every sport. Umpires suck. NFL referees, it's enough already. I mean, this is so, like, it's never going to be perfect.
Guys, how many times were the Pacers wide open last night? How many times did they stand at the three-point line and
it's excuse-making.
And
that's
wait? I mean, like, you either have your defensive chops going and they're working and you're in their face, or you're giving them way too much room because you're either tired, lazy, or they're just that much better than you.
Yeah. I mean, and that's it's just excuse making when you're talking about the officials. It's like any other thing. Just to me, that's the loser mentality. Now you're telling me there's one call that was so egregious that changed the outcome of the game, a la the Saints and Rams NFC Championship game. All right, we could talk about that. But over the course of this series, the Pacers have just been that much better. They're playing better basketball.
The Knicks have been to the line 79 times in the last two games.
Listen, I just hate that. Like, it's okay to, like, just like this caller said, it's okay to admit that the refs made bad calls. It's also okay to admit that the Pacers have been better than the Knicks in this series.
You know, in the previous game, we were talking about how Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson hit those key free throws late in the game. Josh Hart, OG Anunoby missed key free throws towards the end of this game. And Mikal Bridges missed three straight shots towards the end of this game.
Yeah.
And that had nothing to do with the officials.
Let's go to Jones in Morganville. What's going on, Jones?
Fellas, good morning. How's everybody?
All right, Jones. What's happening?
Nothing, man. I was wondering, how do you fellas feel about next season pursuing a trade between Jalen Brunson and LaMelo Ball?
Come on.
Jones is jonesing us.
Yeah, there's absolutely no way that that's a serious phone call. Oh, my God. Now, LiAngelo Ball I'd trade for because he's got a hit song out there right now. Just bring him in just for that, even though he doesn't play basketball anymore. All right, let's go to Clarissa in Middlesex. What's going on, Clarissa?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, what's up?
Well, Boomer, first, I just want to say thank you for meeting with me on Friday. It was such an honor to meet you and take a picture with you.
Well, thank you.
So that's the first thing. Second thing is I'm really upset with all these fellow Knicks fans calling in, talking about the officiating. I feel like it's so bothersome to me that you can watch a team play really mediocre and still blame it on the refs and the officiating, and that goes for any sport. And I feel like for me as a Knicks fan, you know, I'm 29 years old. I've been waiting for this moment basically my whole life. And my friend texted me yesterday, and he was like, are you on the edge of your seat? And I was like, honestly, no, because the series has kind of not been great. Like, they're playing the same that they do every game and not making any improvements. There's no good defense. I mean, last night, with the amount of threes that were missed, I thought I was watching the Celtics. Like, I'm just so over this series, and it would be a miracle if we won. Honestly, I feel like a bad fan saying that, but that's just how I feel. And I'm really tired of people blaming it on the refs. So that's the end of my rant.
Yeah, no, all right. Good, Clarissa. I mean, made a lot of good points there.
You know, Gio said it this morning, you know, and you said, what is the identity of the Knicks? And you compared it to the three teams that they played in the playoffs here this year about how each team had an identity of the way that they played. And I think the Knick identity is supposed to be defense first and then Jalen Brunson second. That's supposed to be the identity.
It was last year.
This year. They've made it to the Final Four. Okay, so they're one of the four best teams left in the NBA. It has been a great season. I don't want this season to end Game 5 in the Garden Thursday night. I just don't want... Because you want to talk about a really sickening feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, we would come in here Friday morning. I would be totally... I would be screaming about major changes.
Really?
I would be.
Major changes?
Like, I would be. These guys, I mean, like, I'm still a believer in them, and I believe in the coach, and I believe in who they are, and I do think that they are a rough-and-tumble team when they want to be. They just, like, they need to be better defensively. When they're better defensively and they're on people, you know, that's when they win games.
What if it goes the same way as the Knicks-Celtics series where the Knicks win Game 5 but then get crushed in Game 6 back in Indiana? That's still thinking major changes?
No, that's a different story. I need to see. This is why this game is important to me, Game 5. Game 5 is important for me because they got to plant their flag. And their flag has not been planted at the Garden. Now, Game 1, they were great until the last 3 minutes. They were great until that's the performance I want to see. I want to see that Game 1 performance.
Yeah,
but I want to see them close that game out. I don't want them to give the Pacers a chance to win the game. And that's one of the reasons why I think Carlisle called timeout late in this game last night.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I also what I want from this series at this point is, like, obviously to win Game 5 and just have a moment in Game 6 to believe that they could get back and play a Game 7. That's all I'm looking for at this point.
Here's one question I have for you. When you think of the Pacers, now I know Halliburton had a game for the ages last night. He hasn't had games for the ages.
No, no.
But he had a game for the ages last night, and maybe it's because his dad was in the building or whatever. But when you think of this particular Pacers team, who has been the best player in this series?
Aaron Nesmith.
You think
Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam. To me, it's Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam. Yeah, you're right. And Nesmith's right there.
And last night, early on, we all love when Mikal Bridges is on, he hits those mid-range little fallaway jumpers.
He hasn't been doing it.
He bricked them. Bricked them, but they just weren't falling for him last night.
Yeah, I mean, and that stuff, I mean, to be able to keep up with a team offensively, you just can't have misses.
But these are the moments. These are the moments, and Mikhail's a national champion in college, so he's had these moments, and he's come through in these moments. But these are the moments where they define you as a player and as a team. And, you know, OG last night missed those free throws. Josh Hart was missing free throws. Josh Hart was throwing the ball away. Carl Anthony Towns committing stupid personal fouls. The amount of turnovers that Jalen Brunson had, I mean— like, these are championship guys. They should be able to handle this better.
You know, I know that Towns, you know, had a couple knee-on-knee situations last night, but the amount that this guy crumbles to the ground and does not get hurt is amazing. Like, how many times have you seen him just, like, going up to the basket, getting hit, and then, like, sliding back into the first row behind the basket, and then, like, getting up and lumbering down the court? I mean, he's always on the ground.
Well, the entire Knick team is on the ground.
God.
No, nobody, I mean, they are the Evan Neal of the NBA.
That is not a good thing.
I mean, I know they're trying to get calls and things of that nature, but, yeah, they spend a lot of time on the court, man, on their backs.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Welcome back. The morning show,
Jerry,
Boomer and Geo.
I got this.
Here's me.
Here's Jerry. That's right. Geo's out getting coffee.
I've done this once or twice.
He's dragging
before.
A little bit this morning. I can understand why we all are.
I think he's been good.
Yeah, he had the long commute this morning.
He's used to that every day.
He had a great round of golf yesterday at a great place on Long Island, one of the great new golf courses in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. Sorry, I did. I misjudged the time there because we were talking a lot before I got up to go
to the
bathroom.
That's okay. It's all good. It's all fine. Jerry came in here and just jumped on the microphone and started talking. I was going to get the music, let the music play a little bit.
Okay. I introduced myself.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And then I was going, Jerry Recco's here with the update.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he said, you're dragging.
Me?
I just said you're dragging a little bit this morning. I understand why you're not feeling good because our basketball team lost last night and we
feel
both
like I've
are
been
tired.
Normal. I don't feel dragging.
These 8 o'clock games stink.
They do.
The that timeouts, the commercials, the elongated half times.
Yeah. I think they go to 9 for the finals. So if they do come back,
no.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure. I'm giving you a no, please God.
I thought those were like a 9 p.m. start. Could be wrong, but I thought they were 9.
God no, please sakes. God.
No, please God.
No, please God.
maybe it's 8:30. I don't know. But I don't think it's 8. I think it's a little later than that.
Well, maybe we don't have to worry about it. Who knows?
Yeah,
I've already started making plans. Like, there's certain things are on hold.
No longer on hold.
I mean, come on. Do you understand, like, what I'm saying, full Jerry, go. About Game 5?
What did you say
do
about
not
Game 5?
Fold at home.
No,
do
I expect them. I expect them to come out and beat them. I don't. This team's not going down on their home floor.
All right, we got a Jerry Recco premonition,
which has been working out a lot. In this
yeah,
great
Jerry. I also picked the Knicks to win in 5. That was a sort of mistaken. So there's that.
Yeah, can't happen now.
Hey, you screwed that one up.
I did. I can't win them all.
But you're saying now you have a premonition. Though,
I just don't see this team going down at home. I don't. They lost 2 already at the Garden. They got to win one
here. If they lose 3 games at the Garden in this one series.
Yeah. You didn't realize the Pacers.
They're not the dudes, dogs who do damage that we think they are.
That is fair. By the way, we're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Do you realize, I didn't know this, the Pacers are 26-7 going back to the regular season in their last 33 games?
Yes, I told you. They had a great end to their regular season, and the reason for that is because they got totally healthy. They got their entire team back, and, you know, you got to remember, Mathurin didn't play last year because he had a knee injury.
That's right. Well, he was a zero in the series until last night where he was a big contributor.
Yeah, but he was a big contributor, in 2 games that they played against the Knicks during the regular season.
Yeah, but I'm talking this series. But yeah, he definitely showed up last night.
He did. He had 20 off the bench. 130-121 was the final as Indiana takes a 3-1 series lead. It brings us to our Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona.
Tipper cleans up. McConnell sprints to the forecourt to Mathurin and into the corner where Siakam hits a 3 and then turns to the New York bench. He's got 24 points. Timeout, New York.
Hey, you with the call, the Lime Time highlight of the night, presented by Corona. Big game also for Pascal Siakam. Those were a few of his 30. And how about Tyrese Halliburton? 32, 12, 6, 15 assists, excuse me, and 4 steals and no turnovers as Indiana wins it. Here's Rick Carlisle, the up-and-down nature of these series never gets old.
In the playoffs, I heard Steve Nash say this one time years ago. When you win, it feels like you're never going to lose again. And when you lose, it feels like you're never going to win again. And those are the emotions, and that's why each of these games looks and feels and is so different.
Now, Josh Hart took accountability for his defensive issues, also his turnovers. Here he is talking about one specific instance when his guy kind of got right by him.
My man, you know, made a back cut and he got a layup, and you know that's one person's mess up. You know, it messed up the whole possession. So, you know, obviously they're running good stuff, but we have to make sure that we're physical or locked in. And
I thought they were physical last night. The problem is they were just too
all
careless
over the
with
place.
The basketball.
They were all over the place. They were sloppy. I would characterize it as sloppy. By the way, Jerry, have you had the Corona Sunbrew?
I have not.
It's the citrus cerveza.
Okay.
I had one this weekend.
Pretty good?
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
I haven't tried that.
So I guess you don't have to put the lime in. They're putting the citric in for you.
Yeah, it's more of an orangey type flavor.
Okay. Okay.
The cool. Traditional long neck Corona with the lime in it, though, and then you get... Put your thumb in there.
Yeah.
And then you flip it over and let the lime go all the way in and flip it back.
Well, I got to tell you, Corona is one of those beers, you don't need the lime. I know people love it.
Yeah. That's
it's
fair.
Good without the lime.
So I'm reading about it. It's the lime and the orange is together in this this summer sun brew.
A summer brew.
Summer brew.
Sounds good to me. Here was OG Anunoby. These games kind of nuts up and down.
Oh, I mean, you know, it's a game of runs. Even when we go on a run, they're not going to lay down. Just like we're not going to lay down when they go on a run. So that's how basketball is, especially with the three-point shooting and the variance and all that stuff.
Mikal Bridges, how do you slow down Halliburton going forward?
No, somebody else.
Keep him out in space. I think that's what it is. Just keep him out in space and then play from there. I got to do a better job. We got to do a better job controlling that and, you know, helping each other.
Sensing a little anger towards Mikal Bridges listening, driving in overnight and... You want someone else on their best player?
I think you got to put
five first-round draft picks to get him.
I think you got to put OG on him.
Mm.
I like Mikal Bridges. I have nothing against. Like he didn't have a great game last night, and to his credit, he took ownership of that after the game, and I appreciate that. That's the one thing about the guys from Villanova. They all seem to be straight-up guys.
Straight-up guys.
And one of the reasons why you really like them, and when he's hitting his mid-range jump shot and he's into the game, you know, God bless him. He didn't start hitting threes until late in the game, and then all of a sudden he missed three in a row.
And a couple open ones, too.
Yeah.
Here was Benedict Mathurin. We talked about him. We are five wins away.
The goal is pretty clear for us. You know, we want to win it. Everybody wants to win a championship, you know what I'm saying? But you have to be willing to do the right things, and I feel like tonight was a great step in the right direction.
Well, game five tomorrow night at the Garden, they can close it out, or the Knicks can force a game six back at Indiana, which I guess would be on Saturday night. Tonight you got game five, Thunder T-Wolves at Oklahoma City, and the Thunder looking for the closeout. They're up 3-1 there. All right, the baseball story, we will start at Citi Field between the Mets and the White Sox. So, you know, the Mets won that tight game on Sunday, 2-1 with the two sacrifice flies. Well, yesterday, a little more thunder. A couple of home runs from Pete Alonso and Jared Young early. And then late, Francisco Lindor tacked on.
Here's the pitch. Swing on a grounder, left side. It's on through. Base hit, left field. Acuna scores. Alvarez stops at second. Francisco Lindor with a roller between short and third picks up the RBI single, and the Mets are now leading by a score of 6-4.
And that would be the final score as the Mets beat the White Sox, wind up winning the series, though they got one more game today. We mentioned the home runs from Alonso and Jared Young, and then you also had that weird play when Soto singled, or could have been a double, who knows, the ball that was trapped in the outfield. Carlos Mendoza was asked what he saw on that play.
I mean, off the bat, I think he got caught in between there. He went thinking that he felt there was no catch, and then I don't know if he saw somebody signaling, went all the way back. That was a tricky one there.
And then, of course, they looked at it on replay, and people were enjoying the umpire explaining it.
Ruling on the field was no catch, and then by rule, Juan Soto was out for passing, so Brandon's at first.
I have never heard an umpire make a call like that.
Got quite personal.
Yeah.
Juan Soto,
you suck, Brandon. I like you better.
He didn't say that.
You know what it is, though? I'm like, either you use the numbers or how do you identify the players?
That's fair.
Use the numbers, right?
That is fair.
But I mean, Soto and Nimmo would sound better than Juan Soto and Brandon.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't go like, you know, holding number 65, Greg Giannotti.
64.
They don't do that.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, 64.
That is a good point. So they will play today at 1:10 because of the bad weather tonight. You've got Griffin Canning and Shane Smith as they bump the game up a few hours on Mets Odyssey Radio, 880 AM. Again, first pitch, 1:10. Last night in Anaheim, the Yankees, I would say, escaped because they led 3-0. Devin Williams came in, gave up a couple of runs, but all good in the end.
And the pitch. Swung on, popped it up. This might do it right here. Perez has got room. Foul territory. He's there, makes the catch, and that's the ball game. Victory for the New York Yankees, 3-2. Devin Williams rallies here in the ninth.
And that was Dave Sims with the call here on the Fan. He mentions Devin Williams rallies, gets the win, gets the victory. Here is Williams on their play of late. The Yankees now 34-20.
We've been playing really well. You know, what's that, like 6 or 7 straight series, I think? So, you know, we're showing up every day trying to win, and, you know, the boys are doing it right now.
They sure are doing it. They're 34-20, a 7-game lead atop the AL East. We were talking about who could compete with them in the American League, so we'll get that out in a second. You got the series finale tonight, Clark Schmidt against Yusei Kikuchi on the Fan at 9:35. Well, one of those teams, the Detroit Tigers, who won to get to 36-20.
The 2-0, swinging a line drive down the right field line, deep. Yastrzemski back, looking up, goal! Come on! Wenzel Perez, first at bat, third pitch he sees of 2025. Homers! And the Tigers take a 2-0 lead in the second.
And they beat the Giants 3-1. That was Tigers radio with the call. So they have a 5-game lead in the Central on Minnesota, who had that crazy winning streak to get themselves back in it. But Detroit, a couple of games better than the Yankees, not in the loss column, but in the win column. In the
That'd be something if Detroit came in and beat the Yankees in the playoffs and Gleyber Torres had like a grand slam home run.
I think Gleyber's batting like 280.
Yeah.
So he's been okay.
He's out of the spotlight and he's just found his place.
I like Torkelson.
I like Torkelson. What's he, first baseman?
Torkelson. And they got Tarek Skubal.
Skubal.
He's the guy who the pitcher who's Skubal and phenomenal. Torkelson. Jack Flaherty, yes, exactly.
They also got Dylan Dingler.
Dingler, yes.
Dingler. You love Dingler.
Dirk Dingler? Dylan?
Dylan.
Dirk Diggler was the...
Oh, the movie.
Yeah,
it was the porn star.
That's right.
Yeah. Warbrook.
That's
yeah.
right.
You're loving yourself some Dylan Dingler.
Dylan Dingler. How about when you get an NFL wide receiver on a roller coaster?
Okay.
What does that sound like? Oh, you see this or no?
Oh, I guess this guy's screaming.
This is A.J. Brown.
Oh, he's screaming.
This is A.J. Brown. So this is as the coaster starts to get going.
Oh, my Lord. Get it?
All right, so at this point, it's really just starting as it's going up. Now, when you watch the video, this thing's going, it's spinning, it's upside down. It is pretty crazy.
Which one is it? Is it at Six Flags?
I don't know. It was a video he posted on social media. At this point, very quickly, he wants off. So that's as he's going by, and then finally.
Oh, I'm not playing. Hey, sir, that's enough, sir. Oh, my Lord.
So he's on a trip with his family.
Okay.
Somewhere. I'm just trying to see where it is.
I will tell you, he is spinning a lot, though, in it. So.
I mean, when you win a Super Bowl, that offseason afterwards, you know, you're laughing and giggling and enjoying yourself.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then you had the Oilers beat the Stars 4-1. They take a 3-1 series lead. Tonight, Game 5, Panthers and Hurricanes in Raleigh. Florida up 3-1. And you have the Abbotsford Canucks playing Colorado in the AHL Western Conference Finals. The play-by-play announcer for the Canucks is a guy by the name of Brand Astle. Astle, I don't know. A-S-T-L-E. I don't know. I don't know.
Sure it's not huge?
Stop it. Anyhow, a fan sneaks into the broadcast booth and throws his chair at him.
Got some Yahoo chap chirping at me from behind. Get out of here. What was he doing? Security. Try that again. I'm fired up. He threw my chair at me. Hit me right in the back of the leg. Like, what was he doing here? Unreal. Have another beer.
So what is he doing? Is he doing the national radio broadcast for the Edmonton Oilers Stars game?
I guess you didn't hear the whole setup.
I didn't hear the whole setup, no.
I'm the one drinking.
I'm watching A.J. Brown going up and down. He almost loses his cross around his neck.
I think I just got Joey Wallard.
All right, what was it?
He's the play-by-play announcer for the Abbotsford Canucks, who are playing Colorado in the AHL Western Conference Finals. What was the Joey Waller one? Who did Tony Page talk about?
Willie Mays. Yeah, with the Trenton Giants.
Giants, you know. Jerry, I do apologize. I'm just watching this A.J. Brown
That's
video.
That's okay, yeah.
And he almost loses his necklace.
That would not have been
Yeah. Absolutely. That thing's worth a lot of money, too, as it's going upside down. It's pretty funny. So there you have it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Talking some Knicks, 888-808-1019. They're down 3-1. Back on Friday, kickoff to summer at DJ's. We saw some folks we hadn't met before that were up on the stage.
One of those was Larry in Indiana, and then on the other side of that was Tracy in Atlantic Highlands. And Tracy hasn't called us since. We saw her on Friday, and she's on hold now, so we want to say hello before we get into the miserable Knicks fans again. So, Tracy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm just so excited that I finally got to meet you. Al Dukes kept me on hold for the longest time just now. 29 minutes.
That's our fault, Tracy.
Well, this isn't like top-notch treatment here, waiting 29.5 minutes.
Well, you called at the wrong time because we had to do Jerry's
update. I guess I did.
Jerry's
I usually
update,
do call so. Later.
So, no.
It's yeah, a, that it, was lovely. I met Jerry, too. I met yeah, you guys. It was yeah. Boomer is beyond tall. I was shocked by that.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, I know you see us sitting down if you're watching us on TV, but what did you think? I played in the
what
NFL.
A huge production.
Yes.
It's very impressive. You guys treated me so well. We had the best time. Jeff wanted to take a picture with you guys, but we had to go.
Yeah, I was looking for you guys because I wanted you to come backstage to get a picture with everybody. But hey, I feel like we'll see you again at some point. Well, I feel like we'll see you again.
Of course, anytime. But so I had a question. So, do you guys have dogs?
Yeah, I've got two dogs.
I know Al does.
Yeah, I've got two of them.
Two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Boomer, you have two dogs?
Jack Russell.
Oh, yeah. Well, so my little cousin was telling me that she is on the show, something with dog dancing, and she swears it's a sport.
Tracy,
dog dancing? Come on.
Dog dancing, yeah. So, no, there's all different types. There's like three different styles they're judged on. Like one's like freestyle dog dancing. But I think the people, like the dog owners, dance with their dogs.
Wow. Yeah, look at this. It's the world of... No, Tracy, it's not a sport. Not at all, but I'm seeing this.
Is that more mental illness?
No, not with dogs, because dogs are awesome. We appreciate it, Tracy. Great meeting you,
yes.
And say hello to the family. And, hey, we have other events throughout the year, so maybe we'll see you then.
I hope so.
Yeah, us too. But no, I'm looking here. She's not kidding. American Kennel Club, the world of musical freestyle or dog dancing. Yeah, I mean,
I think it's more of an athletic event for the dog than it is for the person.
But the person is dancing with the dog.
I know, but the person has to obviously train the dog to be able to do this.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, it's like horse dancing. Isn't there horse dancing? You got to teach the horse how to dance. Or prance.
Horse dance. Eddie's the big horse expert over there.
Oh, that's right, Eddie. I forgot. Yeah, you're
well,
all
you
with,
can
all
teach
horses.
Them to do, like, special steps. I wouldn't call it a dance.
They do that little prancy, like, you know.
It's a prancing.
Yeah, it's like a little Carl Anthony dance.
Carl Anthony dance.
Oh, you know, just like it's like they do the thing with the feet. They do that. But yes. I don't think they do anything else. Right?
Yeah, they hop.
I saw a guy... On Memorial Day, driving out to Wading River, I saw a guy on a horse on the side of William Floyd Parkway.
Really?
Just on the horse with the cars whizzing by, and he's on the horse like with a saddle. And I'm like, is that can't be allowed, can it? He's just on the horse on the side of the highway? Bizarre. I mean, have you ever seen that?
And they got electric bikes and scooters going in the bike lane. They're supposedly not allowed.
But that's New York City. New York City's a free-for-all. When you're seeing a guy on a horse on William Floyd Parkway, it's a little jarring. You're like, what in the F is that?
Yeah, well, you know, they do have, over on the Bell Parkway, they do have horse riding over there.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's a stable.
That's a stable. This was on
maybe the guy
side
came out of
the
stable.
Road.
I don't know. Or maybe he owns horses.
On the side of the road. Like, I was wondering if he's going to go through, like, the Checkers drive-thru when he made it into Mastic, you know? Let's go to Phil in Manhattan. What's going on, Phil?
Well, regarding the playoffs, I think the Knicks fans really need to accept an incontrovertible fact that the Indiana Pacers players are simply better players than the Knicks, and to stop beating up on the Knicks players. The Knicks players are playing the game as best they can. They're not as good as the Pacers, and the fact that they even won one game is a credit to the Knicks. So I don't understand why the Knicks fans just can't accept what is reality and just go on from there and hope that the Knicks put together a better team for next season.
Yeah, Phil, I mean, it's very simple take on it. I will say I think the Knicks still have more talented players, but they don't fit as well as the Pacers do, and they're not as deep as the Pacers are. So, yes, you're right. The Pacers have been the better team in this series, and it hasn't even been relatively close. But what the Knicks fan was getting riled up and lathered up about in a positive way was the fact that they beat the Celtics, and you got past the Celtics. And then you're looking at Cleveland, who was the other team you couldn't beat in the Eastern Conference. They go down to the Pacers. So now you have a team in Indiana where you felt like you should have beat them last year if you were healthy. You played them well in the regular season, and you got home court advantage. So, yeah, the Pacers have played better, but you can't tell the Knicks fan to not be disappointed because it was all lining up, and they were the favorite in the series.
That's exactly right.
And now they're facing elimination at home in a Game 5. So you can't just, the Knicks fans just not going to accept that and be like, oh, well, hell, hands up in the air. Come on.
It's really hard. It's really hard to win a game if your best player doesn't score in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. I mean, who has been your closer?
Yes.
Been your guy.
And I know it was a weird, kind of weird game for him last night. He started off great. Remember, he was just going toe-to-toe, and they were going back and forth. And even, you know, Van Gundy and Miller were just like, this is exactly what we expected. I think Reggie Miller said, the stars are going to show up tonight. And they did. Both Halliburton and Brunson, at least for a half, were going back and forth with each other.
Yep. Well, Jalen's got another opportunity to extend this series, do it at home, have a magical game, and it's more than just him, though. I mean, they've just so many of the things that we saw last game.
But
have
he's the unquestioned leader.
Yeah, yeah,
and that's why, you know, I expect that they'll come out, they'll play hard, he'll play hard, and they just can't lose Game 5 at home. Just can't. That would be the ultimate dagger. That would be the ultimate insult. Now, if I were a Pacer player, of course. That's exactly what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There is nothing sweeter than closing out the team that you're playing against in their own building and having won three out of the three games that you played there.